All right, good afternoon, everybody. It's 12 o'clock. Call to order the Tarrant County 911 District Board of Managers regular meeting for September 20th, 2021. Seeing that we have a forum, we'll begin the meeting. Any agenda announcements?
Yes, sir. Item number six will be pushed back to the next board meeting. The guest that was supposed to be presented today had to reschedule.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good. Item three, consent agenda.
Move approval.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's move to item four, purchases over $25,000.
Certainly, you'll find in your packets actually a proposal for some support for Motorola for the Vesta system. This is through AT&T. This is for a five-year agreement that is to be paid in five annual chunks. Those details should be there where this actually covers the support for what Motorola provides for monitoring response, virus protection, patch management, disaster recovery, advisory on different items. So this is specifically with the support. This is a similar kind of thing you've seen in the past. We did it with the Intrado Viper system, where we've got all of the sites that we've installed over the past 4 years. This agreement actually brings them all coterminous, so we don't have these dates scattered all over. This has been quite the work in progress. There's actually over 100 sheets of details that has taken us about 4 months to get all trued up, but this represents a correct what we need for the Vesta support. And this is support specifically for Motorola, which is different than the AT&T support. But we're requesting that we approve for a five-year contract.
When does that contract start?
That contract would start
Or is our current one coming due? Or
some of them are actually coming due in October. It starts, but essentially it continues on from what we have. We've got certain sites that are coming due in October, some in December, and then a bunch that really start kicking up in March. So right now we're covered on everything with a couple of small exceptions that are in the lab that are not covered, but this covers those up. But it extends out what we already have.
Okay, when you say in the lab, are you talking about from the last meeting where you were talking about the functionality you guys were testing out? It would not cover that? That would be like an additional cost long term if you choose to adopt that?
The lab is actually covered on this, and you'll find that under what's referred to as a System 1 Support Renewal 2021. And you'll see at the bottom, it covers actually the equipment that we've got that we deal with Motorola quite a bit on. And that's going to cover that for 5 years for what we need from them.
Thank you.
So Kevin, just to clarify, the quote for System 1 and System 2 that's included in our packet, that's the five-year cost, that bottom line number, the $2.082 million and the $1.7 million.
If you add those together, you'll come up with $3,381,103.48. And that's going to be divided by five and paid annually.
Anybody else? Chief Davis, you're online.
Good afternoon.
I'm waving my hand.
Mr. Brunson.
Kevin, I think this is a good start. One thing I think I'd like to see before the next budget process is a composite representation of all the cost of all of our networks so that, because with the speed the technology is changing, we need to understand what our pot of money is that's required to keep the district going, not only now, but transitioning into the next stage.
And how long do we think Vesta is going to carry us?
The expectation is that we're hoping Vesta is going to be in place at least for another 7 to potentially 10 years. We're looking at using the hardware change out at 3 to 5 year mark, which if this carries on, and just the support's still there, but it extends on. However, that is one of the things we've been looking at, where there's been these selective agreements and contracts that are separate and scattered throughout the year. Trying to get a complete understanding, you know, you indicated from the network standpoint, this actually has nothing to do specifically with network. It's one of those things that falls into a different group. However, gathering all of that information together so we've got something that us, as well as the board, can view and
as executive director, to understand exactly what we've got, what we're paying for, and where we need to have those marks down the road is something we are working on putting together.
Thank you, because if you look at, there's a lot of 911 centers that are starting to look at the cloud because of all the hardware issues. They're always writing a check for either an update or maintenance or something. And we need to understand what all those costs are. The hardware, the support, the networks. Because that's how big of a check we can write.
Yes, sir.
Move approval.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Chief Davis?
Aye. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Gotcha.
For the next item.
Motion carries.
For the next item, we have Monty Cockrum. Do you support the purchase?
Yeah, we have a switch replacement for four PSAPs, eight switches. These are just switches that are in the life that need to be replaced.
Where are they at?
Azle, Pantego, DWG, and Lake Worth.
Okay, any questions, the board?
Motion.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Chief Davis?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, we'll move next to specialized PSAP equipment policy.
This is not so much of a policy to be put together as a discussion point. I want to make sure I understand going down the direction the board is interested in. We've been approached by an agency that's looking for installing some unique equipment that would normally fall under the VESTA realm, but they're looking at doing it very quickly after we've fairly recently installed some equipment. So it's not within a refresh cycle time, but they're looking to do this, and it's not a requirement, it's a desire. It doesn't fall within our budget realm, we're looking at doing it quickly. Normally, if there was a need, we'd have time to budget ahead of time for such things. This is not exactly a hard need, but it's something that's desired. So we're trying to work out a way that we can support the agencies. All of them might have this need down the road or desire to make changes associated with the VESTA that is something that we've not had the foresight to be able to budget for. We've had not an issue. We've not had the ability in the past to really custom design after installation for specific desires by the PSAPs. We've in this case installed some monitors out there that were originally agreed upon. They said, this is how this is going to look. It was agreed. Great, moving forward. We're about 2+ years into this, and there's a desire to change those out. It's not anything we budgeted for. It's something that they originally agreed to, so it's very difficult for us to now say, oh, we're just going to remove these and put something brand new in that's still beyond the refresh cycle. It's not necessarily a hard move for 911, it's a desire by the agency. So I'm looking to see some possibilities of if we want to proceed down this path where certain agencies might be able to contract back through us to acquire these changes to pay the district and go through a solution that would fall within the AT&T support that would allow this to continue. One of the problems is if we have agencies start changing on equipment on their own, that completely alters the support plan. And AT&T has already come to us and said, this is going to be different. There will be probably delays. There is going to be additional responsibility on the PSAP managers and telecommunicators to triage on their own if we start changing things that are owned by the city. So getting to this point, it's a little complicated. So I'm looking at the board be interested in looking at something like a purchase program from the municipalities through the district, or if there's another solution that city might have.
How frequently does this happen?
In the past, this has happened before. It's usually small enough that it's something we can absorb pretty easily. If there may be some sort of an ADA compliancy issue, that's something we can kind of work through. If there's small specific needs, it can be handled through contingency money that we have. In this case, it's a sizable change out of a lot of equipment for both the labor standpoint as well as the cost of the monitors.
And so, I think you're talking. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you first.
I was going to say, I think you're also talking about, this is PSAP to PSAP, and I think one of, I think I know what you're referring to, and I do want to say to your question about how frequently is this happening, it's probably not being requested as much because the stance of the district previously has been, this is the equipment we provide you, end of story, except in the ADA compliance thing, so I know that it really hasn't been requested. I will speak for my agency, we are looking at some things like the telephony and trying to maybe do one monitor because we're all adding more technology, more technology, more technology, and it's one more monitor, one more mouse, one more keyboard. So we're looking at things to try to help with efficiency in the comm center, such as KVM switches, one monitor for phones that we can run a different direction. So if we could find a way to do this, I think you're not talking about every agency, but to give the agencies the ability, maybe like you said, from a support standpoint, to be able to purchase equipment through Tarrant County, something that AT&T will support, I think you're going to probably have a lot more in favor of that option, or at least to have the option on the table. Space is at a premium for all of us at every console, so I'm always looking at how can I put more on less physical hardware. So this is something that I would definitely be in support of if it's something that we could agree upon that AT&T would support. So I think that's been the big thing, right, is the major problem has been, or point to ponder, is the support aspect of it from the district's perspective.
Support and security would also be a concern as well.
Okay.
So security, let's go to security. So the point would be to update equipment out of cycle at the PSAP's expense through the district. District would want to ensure security concerns through AT&T, whatever, it would be consistent. I'm starting to get a little bit vague in here because it seems a little.
And some of this is, we're seeing a situation right now, but it could be, we're looking at monitors right now, it could be something else down the road. And we're trying to get something that would be flexible enough for us to work through. When we come up with that refresh cycle, that's a great time when we can do those changes. The problem is if we're in the middle of a refresh cycle and we haven't budgeted for that, it puts a lot of expense back on the district that we weren't planning for, that very makes it just challenging and puts us all in a bad spot. Certainly dealing with AT&T, certain things, AT&T has told us we can work with certain elements, others might be more challenging. But it absolutely is going to have some agreement that we have to have with the agency. If the city were to do something on their own, it just will change that arrangement with AT&T.
If there's a point of failure, who does it go through? Does it go through the city or the district?
That's my question.
And we've reached out to AT&T specifically for that. We've gotten multiple answers back.
I think there's two paths, really. And if that's a challenge, I'll go back to that team. But depending on the product, that if it's a newer product for us, and we've got our product management teams and we've said yes, we're going to sell this product, right? Typically we would want to work that interaction through our existing contract situation, so we have a single point and there's always a management. I mean, you think about what you all do here, it's very good. You have kind of a single source for calling in a trouble, and then it comes back to us and I can get one of my 911 techs out like that. If it's something that doesn't follow that process, then it's going to go to our 1-800, same business number as every other customer in the entire state, country. And then it's going to cycle back to me, and I'm going to have to make sure that I send a skilled, qualified 911 tech to that unique thing. Not a problem, we can do that. But it may create a little bit different response situation, and you won't be privy to that event unless that agency lets you know that event. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So from a product perspective, we're generally only going to work on things that we've vetted in a big, big way. As you all know, very few providers are stepping into this space anymore. And AT&T is committed in a big way to play in the 911. It's critical to our FirstNet platform. We almost now are at a point where those things are almost integrated. So being able to understand the products and the training curriculum, I have all the field forces that do all your all's maintenance. So I just want to make sure that, one, we're trained to do those unique situations. Two, that there's a pretty standard process in engaging the resource so that an agency doesn't feel like, well, I'm not getting the same level of service I get when I call Kevin team versus straight to AT&T.
And that was the nature of some of the issue where, say, the city were to provide monitors. Certain AT&T techs said, I don't mind helping out working on that.
Sure.
Some techs have said, it's not owned by AT&T. It's not under the contract. We will not touch it. And they walk away, and the PSAP has equipment that's not functioning until the agency returns that position back to its original state. Then you open another trouble ticket to get a technician back out to fix things. It becomes very muddy, and it depends on the technician and some of the rules they go through.
Okay, so I'm going to make a statement. I own those resources. If that's a challenge, I need to know about that. The direction to my organization is very clear. Do anything you possibly can to assist your customer, right? That means sometimes working on a monitor, as long as it's related to my 911 environment. If I can assist, then I want my techs to make an attempt at that. If that's not happening, let's have a side conversation about that. I'll just make sure that gets out there, okay?
They're doing well with that. It's okay. Just that concern came up, and in some cases, say a technician were to drop a monitor or damage it.
Well, obviously that is a concern.
Who's responsible? Right. We just entered into a very murky area where there's a lot of people responsible for a 911 workstation that in the past has always been entirely underneath the umbrella of Tarrant County 911's support realm, AT&T, that we use. By looking at piecemealing parts of this out, it has the ability to affect the support realm.
Instead of
monitors are pretty easy. That's one we've had to work through.
Yeah.
But this is, I think, the tip of the iceberg on certain things.
If we went to a unique piece of equipment that did a unique function from a software perspective and had a unique support system back to a different kind of manufacturer, that's a pretty big bucket to delve into. We would have to be trained to do it. We would set that up, especially if it's a product of ours. But it does convolute that flow you're talking about. Normally, you all are aware anytime we go to a technical support group for an issue. I mean, you all are right in the middle of it. This is an awesome partnership when I look at how it works. So as long as that's, I think that's something that maybe TCC needs to think about too, is do you want to let that be a one-off and just go straight to AT&T, or is that something you want awareness within your organization? Because it's related to 911.
It's something we like to have awareness.
If you're going to fund it, I would think you'd want awareness.
How different are the PSAPs? I mean, we have 40-something, right, in the district. I just assumed from a 911 standpoint, we had this standardization that made everything work well and flow well and made maintenance easier for everyone. You know, do we start down a slippery slope if we start letting people do these one-offs on their own?
A wise man once told me, once you've seen a PSAP, you've seen one PSAP.
Yeah.
They're all a little different. One of the things we do is we try to standardize and have consistency on process,
right,
on layouts and certain things. However, there are certainly options. Monitors, for example, when we came through from the VESTA standpoint, there was two options depending what was going to work best within that particular environment.
But there wasn't three options.
There were not
three
options.
There were four options. There were two.
Correct.
Which I think is my point is, I think we still need to have some limitations in what we are allowing PSAPs to do if we're going to continue to support them, if we're going to continue to be that middle point.
But at least to have another option. So I know, again, going back to the space is a concern issue. Like for us, we've been looking at, we could be using this real estate here, this console, for something else if we could put the phone here and turn it, right? But that just a simple monitor option doesn't exist. I'm not a huge fan of Grand Prairie doing our own thing outside of the AT&T contract. I'm not a huge fan of, you know, all these different PSAPs providing all this, you know, equipment as they see fit. But I am a huge fan of maybe us having, you know, a buy-in from AT&T to say, these are the types of monitor configurations or monitors we will support. And then if it's something that's outside of the budgeted amount that the district is willing to pay per PSAP or per position, then that could be something at least that the agency has the option to say, hey, you know, for our agency, we realize you know, that this is outside of what the district has already funded. We want to be able to purchase through Tarrant County a AT&T approved solution for this monitor so that we can configure these consoles effectively.
We should be able to do that.
And that's an approval.
That's pretty simple.
Go ahead, Ray.
Who does the city write the check to? Tarrant County 911 or to AT&T?
As we're just talking about this, the thought would be to Tarrant County 911 since our agreement is with AT&T
okay,
for support.
Have y'all, then you're going to have to get your purchasing departments in each one of the cities to buy off that.
So
we are a single source provider for that deal. Since they're paying for it, you're also going to have to talk with their auditing departments about which pieces of it, if we get into bigger equipment, have to be inventoried and specially tagged.
Well,
as long as we're in a squared system, we're okay. But we've been fighting all these software vendors for a decade. And if we're going to start opening that same kind of conversation to, and you open it, you open the door this much, you're asking for all kinds of oversight headaches.
Well, you know, my other job, something called an authorized equipment list from AT&T would be, you know, something that should show up in the relationship with the county. And then I think that would be, you know, something that local jurisdictions should be able to pay for if it's different than our base model, but still within the authorized equipment list that would be covered by AT&T if there was a
sure.
problem. Is there?
We've done things like that in, you know, very large arrangements typically. So, I mean, if you went back to your camp teams, told them you were looking for something like that, they could. I think you're going to need, we would try to anticipate your future needs and the different areas you might delve into as much as possible, but that may or may not be reflected on that list.
Well, that's right, but you could have a list, and then the county would offer this base,
sure,
you know, service or whatever equipment list, and then that you would support an authorized equipment list.
I think that's viable to a point, depending on how we look at the products.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't authorize the equipment if you couldn't support.
Right, exactly. Right?
So I think that is probably a better way to go at this from a legalistic perspective. That
kind of like buying a new car, you have the base model, and you can add all of these accessories that the dealership will still support under the warranty.
Yes,
but you are having to pay for those. That added that extra sound system or
that would not negate
right.
the warranty
right
yes
and that you know AT&T would be responsive to at the same level as the base
right
deal. From a labor perspective you know or just doing simple actions kind of like what you talked about okay I have a high expectation my team to do as much as they possibly can. Okay that's not you all I built my business for Fort Worth, Dallas counties to reflect a certain size technician base to support the needs of the business here on the PSAP level, right? So when you've got a tech out there and he's a little iffy about, well, I don't know what I want to touch. If it seems reasonable and you think it's reasonable, then I think it's going to be reasonable. And I'll have a conversation with my teams about that a little bit. You said we don't have a systemic problem, but this is something I need to reemphasize. I mean, we go into small customers all day long and large customers, and we go, I have been adamant since I've owned this organization since 2018 that you go above and beyond to assist, right? I'd never really run into, you know, a huge problem where a tech drops a monitor and everybody goes, ooh, you gotta pay for that. It's, you know, we're trying to fix, we're trying to help, and my feet on the street is more accessible sometimes than your feet on the street is, right? I mean, you know I got a tech there, blah, blah, blah. So I will emphasize that point from a labor perspective to try to be more assistive, for sure, because it's a very high expectation of mine. And then if you need assistance, with your the teams we work with on the account side to develop that type of list, engage me and I'll get involved on that too.
And I want to be very clear, our technicians fall right in how you describe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they're
always been.
You're very blessed. You have a good group of people.
We are indeed. But often there's times where they have to get involved in other things that are beyond their scope.
Right.
And there is concern and gray area that they work well with respecting, but there is some risk associated with that in some cases.
Sure.
And that's some of the nature of the concern. If we start doing this too far, how wide does that risk gap become?
Right.
It's just something at this stage we're looking at it, we might want to kind of
now if it falls in our product suite, then my expectation is if I don't have the skill level for that product, then we'll make sure we've got it. Right. It might not be the entire base of technicians that take care of all of 911 that works on that one little thing sitting over in this one spot. I might have one or two techs that are capable. So that's where it gets tricky, right? If I start getting too many nuances, you can overtrain people to the point where they know nothing.
Well, I think we're probably all in agreement. We want to keep things relatively standard,
yeah.
But maybe there is an opportunity to have an authorized equipment list that gives you a broader menu.
This business is changing. Okay. No doubt about it.
So what I'm hearing is I'll move forward with this. I want to at least kind of float this past to get a feel for where the board, because this is very different than how we've done things in the past. Everybody said we will not be doing that. Well, that'll be a real quick discussion.
I'd keep it within the PSAP assistance umbrella. We've got an approved list there.
You mean for the funding, if they didn't have the funding?
Correct.
Yeah. Because that can always be applied for if the agency doesn't have funding.
We need some AT&T oversight,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Confirming what is, so there's no unilateral sort of action we want to keep it.
I think it's coming, just like you said. I mean, there's other conversations, just like the KVM switch that we've all been talking about, because every time we add something, it's one more mouse, one more keyboard, one more. And it just becomes too much. There's too much going on one console. So.
And those things aren't what I would call high value. Mouse, a KVM switch. I mean, they're not comparatively to the equipment that we have in this place, but I think we should be able to support most of those items. Those, you know, it's just when you start looking at something that's uniquely supported by a different manufacturer, now they may not have the same SLA expectations. I'm a monitor company. I hear you, you're a PSAP, but I'm a monitor company. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you call Vesta, they go, I mean, that's their whole life. So sometimes that reflection comes back on the first service group, mine, and it's like, wow, that monitor company is just not doing what you expect, right? Well, I'm trying, but they don't have the same SLA requirements. So.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Anybody else? Chief Davis, you're okay?
Yes, I'm still listening. Thank you.
All right, we'll move. So item 6 has been rescheduled for the next meeting. We'll go to item 7, policy updates.
All right, we have a code of ethics and conduct. The only thing we want to do is introduce this to you guys to let you know this is something that we are working on. Nothing for you guys to implement right now. We do plan on potentially implementing this in the near future. When we do a deeper dive into our policies, we'll do a major update on that. So we just want you guys to be aware of this.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Question. Comment?
Yes, sir.
It's a great idea, but I really think we need to wait till we get our new executive director and human resources administrator on board, because neither one of them knows what the board's expectations are. So if we get too far down the path, we hamstring them.
No, so I think you're on target, Rick. But I just the notion of it is a very good notion.
Yes.
But certainly we would want whoever the final nominee selected candidate is to lead this.
Yeah, there's no sense in waiting until that person's on board before we start making the changes that y'all are identifying. In fact, when that person comes in, show them the policies that, you know, and I think to go there, definitely headed in the right direction.
And some of this came about as some results and feedback from staff. Looking for some truing up and what the expectations are, and trying to change the culture. And that was one of those things that Chantel put together that was
little bit of what was asked for by staff based on, you know, recent events.
Sure. All right.
All right, the next thing is personnel policy. We are asking for action on this. The only action is, the only changes is, if you start on page 38 of the agenda packet, there's just some things that are minor things, like, for instance, it might be a name of a position that was, that's no longer a position here in the organization. For instance, one is business manager, that's been changed to finance manager. That is pretty much throughout the whole policy, that we're just making sure that it's up to date along that line. But there is one thing on page 95. Get there. And it's in regards to the dress policy. And it's just to add a verbiage. And that verbiage is, no staff will be allowed to dress appropriately to the duties assigned for a specific event or work project. And basically, the basis behind that, we have certain staff members that sometimes they go out and do community events where we don't really expect them to wear necessarily jeans or to be dressed to the nines, per se. So basically, that's what this right here will chew that up. There's sometimes staff have to come into office and wear jeans on specific days other than just on Fridays. So basically, that's why that was added. So that's the only action that we're asking of on the personnel policy from the board. We'll say the major changes for the Human Resource Administrator and the new Executive Director.
And as we were discussing with the Code of Ethics and Conduct, once you get your new Executive Director on board, we plan to sit down with them and talk about the personnel policy. There's a few other things that need to be amended, changes to state law and the like, but today's action is just to bring this up today with some current issues that have come up, and we'll look at the personnel policy more in depth when you get your new Executive Director on board.
Just require a vote?
Yes,
it board
does.
Action?
Yes, it does.
I'll make a motion that we accept the changes as recommended.
Any discussion?
I do have a question.
Hey, Don, it's Jim. I could not hear the motion. Could you repeat it, please?
It was motion by Chief Spivey to authorize the changes to the personnel policy manual. We have a discussion point from Mr. Brunson.
Rick? There are several suggestions referring to previously the finance manager. I recommend this be removed for now and changed to the HR administrator.
In the future, yes, sir.
When that person is hired?
Yes, sir. Because that position does not exist currently. And right now, the finance manager is filling that role currently. Because it was previously the business manager, which that title no longer exists.
So you're asking us to temporarily replace it, most of it, with finance manager, and once we hire an HR administrator?
On certain bullets, yes, ma'am. Because that at that point, that position ideally would be taking on those duties.
I'll make a second to approve.
So we have a motion and a second.
Okay, page 57. That was always in the details. All exceptions to this policy will be approved by the Director of Support Services, Director of Technology, or the Executive Director. If we're going to make all these changes for the new HR person to be responsible for, why wouldn't we do that with this one?
I'm sorry, which page, sir?
57.
Is it 85?
85. You're asking why is the HR administrator not listed in there yet?
Yes.
I think her ask was to modify this policy to reflect the organizational chart as it sits today.
That's correct.
And then once the HR administrator is hired, then their title is added to the relevant sections of
so
this policy.
So I will ask what the issue is that requires this now.
Well, any policy that's...
We've been real clear that you and Kevin...
These are just simple... Yes, sir. These are just simple name changes to beef it up to what it currently is. for instance, in a policy, if a staff member goes against a policy and those titles don't exist, it's null and void.
Okay, but you know, I have another piece of the policy that very clearly says if there's a conflict, that the employee should approach their supervisor. Supervisor works with them. If they can't resolve it, it goes to the manager. If the manager can't resolve it, it goes to the director. If the director can't resolve it, it goes to the executive director. If the executive director can't resolve it, it goes to the chair of the board. Wayne, that's in your current policy right now.
Wayne, can you weigh in?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want the board to be comfortable with this, but we look at these as just being interim changes, with the exception of the dress code, is just changing out the names of the positions that are responsible for certain parts of this policy. There's more thorough revisions that will have to come once we get the personnel in place, and we'll work with them on coming up with a more refined personnel policy. You're asking good questions, but I'm comfortable with the changes today on an interim basis, but we want the board to be comfortable too. And if you're not, then we can limp along with this policy. It's probably not fatal at all, but these changes seem pretty non-substantive, so we thought we could make these changes today and then revise it more thoroughly down the road.
Okay, so we're going to, on the sidelines of the ethics policy, we'll wait on that. The current suggestion is to reflect the current personnel policy, which is reflective of the current structure, which is a temporary design until we've fully hired the remaining employees. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And legal confirms that these are minimal changes.
Yes.
Temporary. Okay. All right. So we have a motion and a second. Let's go ahead. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
One opposed. Motion carries 3-1.
Chantel, just one note on page 85. On the spelling of, it should be Director of Technology under number 5 on the revisions.
The Director of Technology. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Order one vote, right?
Sorry?
4-1 vote. You have Chief Davis voting too.
I'm sorry, 4-1.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chief Davis, you're there. See ya.
Yes.
Sure. You're in our minds. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We'll move to item 8, Interim Executive Director Report.
Our next board meeting is October 18th. And the next thing I have up is EMP recognition. So what is EMP certification? It's a tool of professional association to establish the benchmarks of performance that will signify a broad-based competence in the professional field. By a person successfully completing their certification, they'll demonstrate a mastery of the comprehensive knowledge base required for emergency numbers program management, help to raise industry standards, and increase the respect and prestige of those involved in 911. It'll also confirm their commitment to the 911 profession by showing themselves to be a leader in public safety and pledging themselves to stay aware of current issues and developments in the field. And the goal of EMP certification is to establish that comprehensive body of knowledge for emergency number professionals, promote a standard of competence for emergency number professionals that be recognized and accepted by the 911 profession, government agencies, the business community, and the general public. Also to ensure an awareness of current issues and developments in the 911 profession, provide formal recognition of individuals for professional achievement, encourage professional growth, and enhance the self-esteem of emergency number professionals. Tracy Pulley, can you come up to the front, please? She's Bobby Kim, would you guys like to come up? This is such an honor and privilege for me to do this. I don't know if you guys know, but Tracy and myself, we have history. we used to work together at Irving. We came through the trenches together. We've done some great things as an organization when I was at Irving, and we're still doing great things. She's an instructor here at our agency. So this is just such an honor for me to be able to do this. So on behalf of the Board of Managers, the citizens of Tarrant County, the staff of the district, we want to give you this in recognition of your achievement for receiving the National Emergency Number Association Number of Professional Certification presented this day, September 20th of 2021. Congratulations on your hard work. Kevin, where you at?
Kevin.
Now you got it.
Good job, Tracy. We're proud of you.
She worked really hard.
Yes, she did.
She did.
Outstanding.
Embarrass her just a little more. She's also going to represent the Irving Police Department on the committee that TECOL was putting together to oversee the formation of this curriculum. So she's certainly a pioneer and a supporter of our PSAP, of the position that she holds and the jobs that they do. So thank you, Tracy.
Thanks, quite a bit to filter questions and help us with difficult things, and you're always an amazing resource with a smile on your face, and we appreciate it greatly. Thank you very much.
Okay, next is a legislative update. I'll see Bill here.
Yes, Bill sends his sincere apologies. He cannot be here today. Today is the first day of the third session. So you got me to present to you guys a legislative update.
It's a good session.
All right, so the third special legislative session is the first item on his agenda here to speak about. On September 7th, Governor Abbott issued a proclamation announcing he will convene the third special legislative session on Monday, September 20th, today. And the agenda items for this session includes redistricting, appropriation of approximately $16 billion in federal dollars from the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, legislation prohibiting students from competing in university interscholastic league athletic competitions designated for the sex opposite to the student's sex at birth, legislation regarding whether any state or local governmental entities in Texas can mandate that an individual receive a COVID-19 vaccine, and if so, what exemptions should apply to such mandate, and last but not least, legislation related to the unlawful restraint of dogs. So those are the things that they'll be talking about in Austin today. Next up on his agenda to speak about was the federal dollars for NG901. We have continued to meet with stakeholders regarding our advocacy efforts to fund the initial cost of NG901 with federal dollars from the American Rescue Plan Act. Along with AT&T, CSEC, and the 911 Alliance Group, we are advocating with House and Senate leadership for as much funding as possible for NG901. A key talking point in the communication with leadership in the Capitol has been that while these federal funds will be helpful, we need a substantial fee increase to keep these critical public safety systems running, and we will be back next legislative session to ask for that fee increase. As the third session gets underway, we will likely call on the Board of Managers to help communicate our need for federal dollars and a subsequent fee increase. And that is all for the legislative update.
Move to item 10. We're going to go ahead and move into executive session in section 551071, 551074, deliberation regarding the appointment, evaluation, resign, reassignment duties, discipline, or dismissal to hear claim of charge against public officer employee. We'll be discussing the executive director and the HR resources administrator. We're also going to be discussing section 418-183F, Texas Disaster Act. Thank you. Okay, it is now 1:10. We will reconvene back into open session. Seeing that there's no public here for public comments, we'll go ahead and declare the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you,
Chief.